Meet Erica. Erica is a mom.
I have three awesome kids. They are everything to me. I got so many
reasons to rejoice. Do I have a witness in here tonight? Erica is a daughter.
My mom was and still is my biggest advocate. And I'm 37 now, and she still is my biggest advocate.
I must admit I was guilty. Dealing with albinism for her entire life.
With Caucasian people, it was, you look different and you can't see. It was that kind of uneasiness. And then if I was hanging out with African American friends, it was, you're a sellout. You're a test tube baby. You look nothing like us. We don't want you playing with us. So it was kind of, I'm in the middle. I don't know what to do.
Persevering and excelling.
I work in the ADA lab that caters specifically to students who are disabled. My specialty is English. However, I can tutor in math as well. I'm working on my master's. I want to teach. That's my quote unquote end game.
Blind Abilities presents our guest, Erica Turner. Good morning, everybody. This is Pete Lane. Welcome to another Blind Abilities presentation. With me today is a very special guest. I'm speaking with Erica Turner. Good morning, Erica. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Erica, why don't you loosen up a little bit and tell us who you are in 25 words or less?
25 words or less.
You can go over if you want to.
I feel like it's a Twitter post.
There you go.
Instead of using 146 characters, I have to use 25.
I'll make you a deal. If you're used to Twitter, then you can use 140, whatever it is.
I think it's like 140.
Yep.
I am a mom, a daughter, friend, cousin, all those things. I am totally blind, and now I am deaf blind. I have two cochlear implants. I'm just a regular person, I think.
You're a regular person who happens to be blind and hard of hearing.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, you're a mom. So yeah. Why don't you tell us about that? How many kids do you have?
I have three awesome kids. I have twins, Sanaa and Nathaniel, who will be 13 next month. And I have a 10-year-old whose name is Miles. They are everything to me.
The twins will be 13.
Yes.
My. And are they boys, did you say, or girls?
Boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl.
Yeah, boy-girl twins.
Oh, have you got it in for you? They're just getting into their teens.
My daughter goes to La Villa, and she's majoring in drama, and that is the perfect match for her.
Is she a drama queen?
Yes, she is.
La Villa, for those who are not familiar with it, is a magnet school in the Jacksonville school system, or is it a private magnet for theater and performing arts?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So she's interested in drama, acting.
Yes, she wants to be an actress.
Is she also musically inclined?
Yes, she can sing. She can dance. She is she is a diva in every sense of the word.
All right. Just like her mom?
No. She gets it from my mom, actually.
Okay.
But my kids are everything to me.
That's excellent. Are you a single parent?
I'm about to be a single parent.
Uh-huh. Well, if you haven't had your hands full so far, you know that's going to be double, if not triple, the work.
Yes, triple, yes.
Yeah, especially with them getting into their teen years where the fun starts.
Yes.
A Also, you have told me previously that you've been totally blind for about 5 years now, but before that, you suffered from albinism. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Albinism is a genetic disorder wherein individuals are born with no pigment in their skin, and it skips generations. From what my mom has told me, my biological dad, it ran in his family, so I was the next one, quote unquote, in line to have albinism. Also, all the albinos on my dad's side went blind by the age of 30. I lucked out because I went blind by 32. That was quite interesting. I've always had problems with my hearing. You know, children would have occasional ear infections, but mine seemed to be a bit worse. So last year, I got my right cochlear implant. In March of this year, I got my left cochlear implant. I had a lot of complications with my left cochlear implant, but I'm working through them.
So we could spend a lot of time talking about the cochlear implants. I've heard so much about them. Those are actually implanted, as the word implies, in the bone behind your ear. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it kind of works as a bone conduction mechanism to pick up the sound. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yes, that is right.
Very much like the Aftershocks bone conduction or other bone conduction headsets that we may be familiar with. Very cool. I understand that albinism obviously affects the pigment in your skin, your hair, and in your eye color. Give me some more specifics on the eye problems that it caused when you were younger, because I understand they can range from the inability to track things with your eyes and that you have sometimes wandering eyes. And tell us a little bit more about that.
You are spot on with the tracking. Nystagmus is the constant wandering of the eyes, the back and forth movement. It's very fast back and forth movement of the eyes. The light color of the irises, it can cause light sensitivity. I've always been very sensitive to really just any kind of light. I tried to wear, you know, regular glasses. There were prescription glasses, but having the lenses be just no tint to no avail, it just wasn't working. Just the nystagmus, holding books up very close to my face. It's kind of like I was just sniffing the page,
right,
so to speak. Even with large print, it wasn't working for me.
Did you wear glasses to do that?
Yes.
And I imagine they were tinted?
Yes. Per my mom, I just found this out like a couple of years ago. I received my first pair of glasses when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wore glasses up until a couple of months before I went blind.
Were your glasses really thick, magnifying type lenses?
They weren't thick, but they had a strong prescription. And it was as if like every time my parents would take me to the eye doctor, my prescription was constantly being changed. Mm-hmm. So it was, okay, Erica, time to pick out another pair of glasses or another pair of frames. Well, really, another pair of frames.
Right.
It was like that was the norm for me.
Yeah. So you did go to mainstream public schools. Were you brought up in Jacksonville?
Yes, born and raised.
So you went through the Duval County school system?
Yes.
How did you manage in classes? Did you have any special tools or equipment other than your eyeglasses? Did you have a tutor or anybody? What type of tools or assistance did you have?
I never needed a tutor academically. I could keep up with my peers. However, I did go to, you know, the quote-unquote resource room for CCTVs, magnifiers. I remember having the dome, you know, the small dome magnifiers that you could move across the
page. Right.
Of course, talking books back in the day for me, the yellow cassette players.
Oh, yeah.
With the green box with the cassette tapes.
Right.
Those were my best friends because I could read all day long.
Were you able to get textbooks from the Talking Book Library, or how did you manage with textbooks?
I'm not sure how my mom managed to get those, but I did have large print textbooks. My mom was and still is my biggest advocate, and I'm 37 now, and she still is my biggest advocate.
It sounds like it. I hear the absolute respect and awe and love in your voice. That's great.
And back then, you know, of course, you're a child. You can't speak up for what you want or what you need. But my mom made sure that if it was out there and I needed it, she made sure that I got it. I had every accommodation that I needed to succeed.
Were you involved in any kind of sports?
I participated in everything. I knew I couldn't see the softball coming at me. I still wanted to be on the team. I participated in soccer. I knew the soccer ball was there. I couldn't see it, but I wanted to be on the team. And my mom and my stepdad, you know, I called him my dad because he did all the things that a dad would do. So when my parents came to softball games or soccer games or track meets, you know, I wanted to participate. I felt, okay, I can't see these things, but I still want to have that experience of being a part of the team.
Oh, yeah. Great. Good for you.
Thanks. Had a lot of injuries, but I still
I was going
to
ask, how many
it.
Times did the soccer ball and baseball hit you?
Lots.
Right.
Lots.
So peer pressure, how did that go? Because not only are we visually impaired, but we're dealing with the albinism. So how was your interaction with your peers?
Socially, it was hard. For me, socially and emotionally, it went hand in hand.
Right.
Because with, you know, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully.
Sure.
With Caucasian people, it was, you look different. We don't mind playing with you, but you look different.
So there was always a distance.
Mm-hmm. We don't mind playing with you. However, you look different.
Right.
And you can't see. It was that kind of uneasiness. And then if I was hanging out with, you know, African American friends, it was, you're a sellout. You're a test tube baby. You look nothing like us. We don't want you playing with us. So it was kind of, I'm in the middle.
Right.
I don't know what to do.
Right.
And even with my own extended family, mainly my cousins, it was, you know, that way. I felt alone. So I took solace in reading. When the talking book magazines came, my mom would just order books upon books upon books. So I just carried the cassette player around wherever we went because I felt that was, you know, my solace. You mm-hmm. don't want to play with me? Fine. I'll read my book.
Good for you. Very difficult, though. My gosh. So did you have any good friends or what you would consider to be good friends?
I did. And, you know, hindsight being 2020 now, my mom tried really hard to get friends to come over and spend the night and have sleepovers. However, on the inside, I felt really lonely because the friends that she invited over were playing with each other. And I kind of felt like, okay, well, this is more so for them, mm-hmm. not for me.
Right.
So I was trying to make the best of it because I knew that's what my mom wanted. You know, she wanted me to feel a part, even though on the inside, I didn't feel a part of what was going on. I wanted to make my mom happy. I still do, and I'm much older now.
Okay. Let's fast forward now. We're through school. Boy, that was tough, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then I would imagine a byproduct or a direct result of your enjoyment with reading.
Yes.
You decided that you had a passion for English and mm-hmm. reading. So
yes.
You did go to college. Tell us a little bit about that.
Upon graduation, I went to, back then it was FCCJ.
Which is the Florida Community College here at Jacksonville, right?
Yes, summer of 97, started at FCCJ, did my 2 years, transferred to UNF.
UNF, for our listeners, is the University of North Florida.
Was at UNF and was almost 15 credits shy of graduation, and my stepdad passed away unexpectedly, and that just shook my world. It really, really did, and it shook my world.
So you dropped out at that point?
I didn't want to go back, and I had gotten married earlier in 2002, and I really was almost finished. I was 15 credits shy of graduating from UNF, and I really just went into a deep depression, and I found out I was pregnant. It ended up being twins.
Wow.
It was a blessing in disguise because, you know, my dad passed away, but I'm pregnant. And it's kind of like something to not take my mind off of my dad's death, but kind of ease the pain a little bit.
Sure. Distract you.
Yeah. So basically, school finishing up took a back seat at the time. Okay, I'm married and I'm about to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it, but we were about to have twins. So to speed things up, we had twins. And my oldest son, which is Sanaa's twin brother, had a lot of medical complications, which to this day he is classified as being special needs, which requires him to have nursing care 24/7. So back in 2013, I decided I need to go back to school. I need to finish. I have to do this. Not for anybody else, but for me. I need to do this.
By that time, you had lost your vision totally, am I correct?
Yes.
You did say earlier that that was a product of the albinism. Tell us about that before we get into your going back to school, which we will. I want to get into that. But tell us about that happening. Was it quick? Was it traumatic?
I had an eye infection in my right eye, and I thought it was pink eye. And I'm like, okay, the kids didn't have pink eye, so how did I catch it? And I knew something was wrong because September of 2011, I knew I was under a lot of stress and just a lot of things were happening, a lot of changes were happening. And I knew my eyesight was getting worse. And I was just thinking, oh, you know, I'm just not getting enough sleep. The kids' schedules, they were back in school. And, you know, just I was just doing the mom thing and trying to run the house. And I didn't think about it. Christmas came around and I'm trying to cook and help wrap gifts. And at the time, my husband was, Erica, you know, you're stopping. What's wrong? And I'm like, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. 2012 rolls around. I just, out of the blue, admitted to him. I said, I can't see. And he's, you know, he was like, okay, tell me something I don't know. And I'm like, no, really, I can't see. It's dark. He's like, it's light outside. Mm. No, it's dark. And I started just panicking. I'm like, it's dark. I can't see. It's dark. I can't see. And I made an appointment to go see my optometrist, who I had a really good rapport with. And we went to go see her that same day. And I told her, I'm like, I can't see. I can't see. And she said, I don't know what to tell you, Erica. So I went to two other doctors. They told me that I had RP. You know, I'm like, what's RP? By then, I was just in denial and hostile and didn't have a filter on and just being really rude.
So this was new to you, the RP? No one ever had diagnosed it or even thought about it?
No. And I was just being really moody and snappy and not very nice, to say the least. Of course, I go home. I did not have JAWS, had no idea what JAWS was. So when my daughter came home from school, I was in tears. And so she's on the computer and she's reading to me in her elementary school voice. And that's when I started just calming down and comprehending what RP was and everything. By then, I had some light perception, but not a lot.
Was this the typical tunnel where you had a little bit of light perception in the center of your vision?
Yes. What took that light perception away was I had a really bad eye infection, and it wasn't conjunctivitis because I thought it was. It was just some kind of viral infection in my eye that went from my right eye to my left eye, and that took the little light perception I had away, and that was 2012.
Sounds like this happened over a pretty short period of time where you were going along as you had for years. And then 2 months later, 3 months later, you came to the realization that it was dark?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, I tried to fake it. I'm sorry. You can't fake it.
What did you do then?
I contacted DBS, went out to meet with them. At the time, it was called iLab. Now they're called VERT. Went through training at iLab. They still are awesome. They helped me as far as cane travel, ADL skills, JAWS, open book, you know, all those things that would help me be a better person and in turn be a better mom. And that did boost my confidence a lot. You know, even though I would come home from those classes and just be like, oh my God, I just feel like I've worked a job. However, in the back of my mind, I knew that this was going to make me a better person. I did reach out to Hadley School for the Blind. I knew if I wanted to make it, I needed to learn Braille because I still wanted to read. So I reached out to them, started taking Braille classes. I'm still learning Braille. I would like to read Braille faster, but I know it's a process. It takes me like a half an hour to read a page, but I still love it. Some people are like, no, I don't like Braille. I personally love it. I am a big advocate for people to learn how to read Braille, write Braille.
I agree.
I think children should learn it because technology may fail. You still need to know how to use Braille.
You started to get into, a moment ago, getting back into school. Let's get back to that and talk to us about that.
2013, I was sitting home and the kids that came home from school, and Sana was telling me about a book her teacher had encouraged her to read. And I was thinking, I'm like, I've read that book. I'm like telling Sana about it. She's like, don't tell me anymore. And I'm like, okay. I see where she's coming from because I don't like people to spoil the endings of books for me either.
Right.
At that moment, I was like, I need to go back to school. I need to finish what I started. I saw SNHU and I researched it and found that their tuition was reasonable. I applied, was able to talk to an admissions counselor right away, was in class by the end of October, and completed my bachelor's by 2014.
SNHU is Southern New Hampshire University and it's an online college.
Yes, and they have like a main campus, of course, in New Hampshire. That's where I wanted to go, and I did it. What made it different was when I went to FCCJ and UNF, I didn't advocate for myself. I didn't go to Disabled Student Services and say, hey, I'm legally blind. I need these accommodations. I need a reader. I need to have my textbooks in this kind of format so that I can read them. I didn't do any of that. And I do believe that my grades could have been way better than what they were. When I went to SNHU, that was the first thing that I asked the admissions counselor was, do you have a Disabled Student Services? Even though I'm going to you online, do you have that office where I can reach out and have a disabled students counselor at my disposal? And they told me yes. As I was filling out the application, I was in contact with a disabled student services counselor, and I was able to get accommodations.
When you were still back at FCCJ and UNF before you dropped out when your dad passed, were you in a degree program at that stage?
Yes, I was in a degree program.
What degree program were you in?
When I got to UNF, I was in their English Lit program, and I didn't ask for any kind of accommodations because I didn't want everybody to view me as, you know, this girl needs a reader or a note taker, because I've heard horror stories about that, you know, people being singled out in a room of like 400, you know, this girl needs a reader, this girl needs a note taker.
Right, right, on the PA system.
Yes, and I even hear about it now at work. And I work as a tutor, and how students come into the lab and they're in tears or they're frustrated because a professor called them out saying, you know, so-and-so needs a note taker, or the note taker for, I don't know, Amanda Jones is here. Amanda, where are you? Because your note taker is here. Mm-hmm. That is very humiliating. So I suffered, and my grades could have been so much better had I only not faked it and asked for help.
So we're back at SNHU, and you didn't make that mistake twice.
No, I didn't, and my grades were so much better.
What type of accommodations did they offer you?
Of course, I got my text in a Word format. All I had to do was buy the book, fax over the receipt, or scan the receipt saying that I ordered the book, and then they released the book to me as a PDF or a Word file. If the class that I was taking required me to take a test, I received time and a half. On certain projects, I got extensions. I had to take an art history class, and everybody knows art is very visual.
Of course.
My instructor at the time gave me an extension, and she did not have to do that at all.
Tell us about that project. What was that project? What did it entail?
I had to look at paintings. I had to compare and contrast different paintings.
That would be difficult if you can't see them.
Exactly. It was very difficult.
How did you do it? Or at that point, did you still have some vision?
No, I had no vision.
So how did you compare two pieces of art if you couldn't see them?
I had to ask my mom, and art is not my mom's forte. I had to ask her to describe them to me, and I learned at that moment. It was a very humbling experience. Everyone's descriptions are not the same, so I had to write based off of what she saw and what she described to me. I had to explain that to my professor. I got a B on the paper.
So you did everything online from your home?
Yes, with the help of JAWS.
Good. You completed your four-year degree, your bachelor's in English?
Yes.
English Lit?
English Lit and Creative Writing. And I got my minor in Professional Writing.
Well, congratulations. You're a college graduate.
Yeah.
Applause, please. Yeah. You've come a long way, but you're not done, are you?
No.
Pick it up from there.
I'm working on my master's. I want to teach. That's my quote-unquote end game.
You're currently enrolled in the SNHU master's program, once again, in English and Creative Writing?
Yes.
How far along are you?
I have one more year. I took a year off to handle my cochlears, and I'm going to start back in July, pick up where I left off.
Good for you. I bet all of this was difficult with three kids.
Yes, it is, but it's funny because we all sit down to the table and do our homework together. So, and it's cool because my daughter tells her friends, if you need English help, you should come over and ask my mom. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And you're working?
Yes, I work.
At the junior college, which is now FSCJ, which is the Florida State College at Jacksonville?
Yes.
And what are you doing?
I work in the ADA lab that caters specifically to students who are disabled. So if anybody has any kind of disability, they are allowed to come into the lab, and the lab has tutors that will tutor them on any subject. My specialty is English, however, I can tutor in math as well, and I also transcribe Braille for the college.
How do you assist someone who comes in with, for example, a physical disability or another type of disability other than blindness or hearing loss?
If they have their homework, and a lot of times it's print, like it's on a worksheet or in a book, the college has been so generous to buy me my own scanner. I hook the scanner up to my laptop. I use OpenBook, and I'm able to help them. I can scan their work, listen to what they need, and then help them.
So you found, even at SNHU, that all of the online access was accessible? In other words, all of the programs and things that you had to access were available to you through JAWS?
Yes. Nice. I haven't had any issues. Great. Knock on wood.
So you use a laptop, which is a PC, a Windows PC with JAWS. What about iPhone? Do you use an iPhone?
I do use an iPhone. I have an iPad, too. I use Learning Ally because I have this system for my books, because a lot of them are English books and I have to read novels and things like that. I start with Bookshare. If Bookshare doesn't have it, then I go to Learning Ally. Learning Ally doesn't have it, then I have to order it from Amazon. And that's when I have to buy the book, then submit the receipt to Disabled Student Services, and then they will release the copy to me as a Word file or a PDF. And that's how I'll read whatever book.
Mm-hmm. Do you use VoiceStream Reader?
Yes, I do. I love it. Best $10 I've spent.
Isn't it?
Yes.
It's great.
I love it.
You work on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
So other than working on Wednesday afternoons, would you be coming to my iAccess sessions?
I am seriously, seriously considering it.
Are you good on the iPhone?
No, not honestly, not really. I know how to get to, like, my mail and the phone, my text messages, and then, like, the various, I have all the major news, New York Times, Chicago Tribune. I have those apps, but I would like to learn more because I know there's so much more that I could do with my iPhone and my iPad.
Well, maybe when you're done with your master's program and your kids get a little older, you might have a few minutes in your day to learn.
I hope so.
Who's your favorite author? I'll change that before you answer. What's your favorite book?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
So now who's your favorite author?
Harper Lee.
Did she write To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes, and she wrote Go Set a Watchman.
Ah.
Yes.
To Kill a Mockingbird is a great book.
Yes.
Cajuns down yonder in Baldwin County. I mean in Macomb County. The thing about it is, our kind of folks don't like the Cunninghams. The Cunninghams don't like the Yules. And the Yules hate and despise the colored folks. I told Jim if that was so, then why didn't Tom's jury, made up of folks like the Cunninghams, acquit Tom despite the Yules?
I would agree. That's not my favorite, but it's certainly super.
Yes. I have to say no to Kill a Mockingbird and The Giving Tree. Those are my two favorites.
Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches, and the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy.
Giving Tree is a classic, isn't it?
Yes, I love The Giving Tree. I love it.
Erica, you want to be a teacher. So mm-hmm. Where do you envision yourself teaching? At an elementary level, maybe secondary level? What do you think?
College.
English Lit, I would imagine, lends itself more to the upper grades in college, yeah.
Yes.
Would you want to teach at UNF or FSCJ?
Actually, FSCJ. I know the layout of downtown campus. I'm pretty content there.
You're comfortable there.
I'm comfortable, yes.
But knowing you, if your opportunities took you elsewhere, you would accept the challenge readily.
Yeah, I would consider it.
Are you pretty good navigating with the cane?
Yes. Miss Amy Johnson is my O&M instructor, and she's awesome. She's been really, really good to me.
And she's over at Vert?
Yes.
So, Erica, final question.
Okay.
What words of advice would you have for our younger listeners who are working their way through college or working their way through high school, transitioning to college? What words of wisdom or advice would you offer them?
Don't hide your disability. Don't hide your disability.
As you did earlier on in your college education.
Earlier in high school and early college, don't hide your disability. If you need something that will benefit you, speak up and go for it. Because high school, you have parents, you have guidance counselors. They are at your disposal, and it's so easy to get it. But when you go to college, you're on your own. Nobody is going to advocate for you except you. So if you need it, you need to go for it. Don't hide it. That's all I would say. I tell my daughter that now, and she's going to be 13 next month. If you need something, you need to speak up and let me know. Let your dad know. Don't wait till the last minute. Speak up and say, I need this.
If you don't, I think it deprives you of the full experience, whether it's the ability to dig deeper into your field of study, whether it's getting better grades, putting mm-hmm. yourself in a better position to get to a better school or to take a more advanced level of course study or
yes.
when you get out of school and you hit the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Have your kids been tested for RP?
No, they haven't.
Have you thought about it?
Yes, I have. And I have an appointment at Mayo in July, a genetics appointment, because I feel as though I want to get tested to see if there's anything in me that may have been passed on to them. I don't want them to find out when they're older or they're about to have children of their own and have this big bombshell dropped on them that,
oh, your child may have albinism, or your child may have RP or Usher syndrome. I don't want that to happen to them, because, I mean, I was devastated, really, really devastated with my hearing loss and being blind. I could handle being legally blind, but total blindness and hearing loss, I was devastated. I don't want them to find out like
that. Here's
a
question. Mm-hmm. If you knew before you had your first child, before you became pregnant, that you had a gene that would pass on albinism, Usher syndrome, or anything else, how would it have affected your decision to have children?
Honestly, I still would have had children.
And your kids might make the same decision, but being armed with that knowledge, I would think would make that decision a little bit more of an educated one.
Yeah. I still would. I want them to be educated. I want them to know. I don't want them to find out like I did, where it was just, okay, just blurted out. Like,
yeah, traumatic.
Yes, it was very traumatic for me. I say that because it wasn't being over dramatized or anything like that. It was just blurted out. Like, we're just having a conversation, and it just, there was no preamble. There was no, okay, are you sitting down? I'm holding your hand. I don't want that for my kids. I'd rather tell them, you know, have that information and tell them now, instead of them having to find out years later.
Are you a member of the NFB?
Yes, I am.
And you're in the local Jacksonville chapter?
Yes, I am.
And you know my former coworker, Joe Minicello?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Joe, right?
That's what I call him.
Yeah. He's a good man. I know him well. I worked with him for 15 years.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. Tell him I said hey.
I sure will.
Erica Turner, thank you so much for chatting with me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're certainly welcome. We have been speaking with Erica Turner, a 37-year-old mom, first of all, college student, college graduate, master's program student, soon to become a teacher with a master's in English Lit and Creative Writing, has been through a lifetime of challenges, and has overcome every single one of them. Erica, thanks again. You've been an inspiration to all of us.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
Okay.
This concludes our chat with Erica Turner. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to contact Erica, you can reach her by sending an email to info@blindabilities.com. I'd like to thank Erica for her openness and her candor. For other podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, or on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.
When we share
what we see
through each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations
and the realities of blind abilities.